So 3 years ago, John and I moved into our 106-year-old project we call a house. And we seem lately to mark these years not by the many ongoing inside projects, but by the many ongoing outside landscaped projects. The first year, we call it weed abatement. 4 gallons of Roundup mostly did the job. The second year, pulling up some scroungy hedges or which is mostly buckthorn and volunteer maple saplings, and they gave the appearance of hedges. And finally, the third year, most of my garden beds are in good order and the 19 shrubs that we planted last November are still thriving. But now you see a picture of my backyard. There is this hedge that grows between... Can we show that just one more time? There's this hedge that grows between us and the neighbors, and underneath that hedge is a chain link fence. And like most old properties in Palatine, there's much grandfathering in. We're not sure exactly where the property lines go, but there's this hedge that the neighbors and I go back and forth on. Who owns it? And so it looks like this. And a lot of times, John will get out his handy combo whatever thing it is and trim it down, and it looks pretty dang good. But by midsummer, it's a tangled mess. Buckthorn, maple saplings, and the viney things that I can't identify. And this tangly mess of a thing is what I have to walk past every day to go to the garage and into my car. And so John and I often debate about this as well. He thinks if things are that hardy to grow, let them grow. And I have a different approach. I think cutting it back makes a whole lot of sense. And so it's a project that really harms no one. I mean, it's green. It's not dead or anything. Even if it isn't really a true vine, it gives the appearance of a vine. Today, however, Jesus describes himself as a true vine. Now, a vine sounds really nice because, let's face it, probably most of us, when I read this scripture, think of a grapevine, right? It's not like something that gets on your house and destroys your stucco and is an invasive vine. It's not like the plant in my backyard. And it's not like the plants that Jesus uses in his other gospels, especially in Mark, when he goes on to describe the kingdom of God, like that wild mustard weed, which is actually an infuriating weed, something you break your back to dig out, not something you plant intentionally. And I'm fairly certain that the messy tangle in my backyard wasn't put there on purpose either. A vine, a grapevine, sounds much nicer. So let's assume for today, and our purposes, that it's a grapevine, a glorious image of God who abides in us and we in God, a sturdy, strong vine grown for purpose with branches in every direction. They're pruned properly at the right time and bear much fruit, an image of really mutuality. But if you've ever grown a grapevine, or have seen one maybe on a tour, the branches, not necessarily by this time of year, are neat and orderly. There's a random tangle of branches growing in many directions. And yet this is the image that Jesus gives us. The image of the vine identifies Jesus as the source of life for his followers. Us followers are called the branches. And the life Jesus provides is the love that he gives to others. So along with this abiding in the true vine, there's a pruning part, though, that I get stuck on. What does pruning have to do with producing? It seems a little bit, okay, maybe a lot, counterintuitive, right? That in order to grow, we must first remove what is already grown. And strange though it may be, the fact is that a vineyard owner will tell you the best grapes grow nearest the vine, the main branch, the main vine, closest to the best nutrients, and they produce the best grapes. So the pruning is necessary, and this is exactly what Jesus is claiming we must do in order to abide in him. That as the branches, we are to stay close to the vine, which is God, and prune off that which is not needed. And in this, we stay connected to our center where God dwells. So what in our lives need to be pruned? In her book, Revisioning the Promised Land, Ruth Haley Barton states that as we stay fruitful to the journey into the center of our being where God dwells, we are free from bondage to the expectations of others and our own inner compulsions. So we are less and less mesmerized by human voices. We are less swayed and manipulated by the expectations of others, and more given over to God. And in our encounters with God, we die not only to the expectations of others, but also to ourselves. We die maybe to our addiction to performing. We die to looking good and being perfect, or attaining more status than is good for us. Today, what Jesus is saying is that by staying close to him, we capture God's hopes and dreams that grow up around us and within us. And in doing so, we will produce the best fruit, the best results of ourselves. And for all those also connected to the main vine, not just for ourselves. And in this connection, in this abiding, the kingdom of God takes root in us. And when God has taken root in us, we become one huge, beautiful, tangled up community of followers of Jesus, connected and growing and serving one another for the glory of God. This is what God has designed, for us to be connected and not pulled apart. Not one of us, not a solitary vine, but a branch connected to the main vine. And with this connection, the deep abiding in God, we grow as a community of imperfect and inconsistent people. We grow when we use our best gifts, the best fruit we can bear, so that our common human needs and joys and fears are shared and healed. We grow and bear good fruit when the things that bring us together, and not the ways that we divide ourselves with one another, are lifted up and given back to God as our first fruits. And in that growing, we have hope, a hope that God's miracles of growth bring forth fruit, bearing fruit when it counts, grows with union with Jesus, and finding that home in him and letting his word find home in us through the faithful devotion bring about great joy and tremendous growth in our faith lives and beyond that. As in nature, the pruning and abiding are held together. The remarkable result is that what we want will be what God wants, and it will surely come to pass. For Jesus says to us today, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. All that is extraneous is carefully and lovingly removed. And what remains is centered and focused on God's word. So these branches, these images of these branches anchored together as Jesus is the true vine. And it leads me to another thought. That we've been created to depend on one another. We need one another. We need to recognize that our destinies are intertwined together. So when one suffers, we all suffer. That's the way God's reign is built. Which might seem like the most radical and challenging callings of our faith, to recognize that the barometer of our collective well-being and growth is the health and well-being of the most vulnerable among us. So likewise, my well-being is tied to the 58 kids who come to hear the love of God through Christ Jesus at Vacation Bible School in Carpentersville, who now have a story to tell of what I did this summer. And I look around this community and I see that my well-being is tied to the well-being of single mothers working three jobs to feed their children. My well-being is tied to the self-employed landscaper who isn't sure how he's going to pay his taxes. My well-being is tied to grad students staring down a lifetime's worth of student loan payments. My well-being and growth is tied to your well-being and growth. Today, Jesus takes the common image of the vine and transforms it into a symbol of community, mission, growth, service, and love. Bearing fruit means that we see ourselves connected to something bigger than ourselves, And when we stay connected to the true vine, we grow in the love of Jesus, and we learn what it means to truly be his disciples, and in that we glorify God. My friend Pastor Melissa Bills states in her recent blog that when we embrace the tangles in ourselves and when we truly live believing that we are tangled and up and connected to one another, we are bound together, growing in Christ, who is our root, our true vine, who is the one who makes us one. And then we become a beautiful landscape. Amen.